Thanks for listening to the best of the Ben Maller Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight from 2 to 6 Eastern, 11 p.m. to 3 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And to find your local station for the Ben Maller Show at foxsportsradio.com, you can find it there. Or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the best of the Ben Maller Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Here we are, gathered around the Magic Radio Box in exhibition football.
Woohoo!
Yeah, not one, not two, not three, not four, five practice football games were played, but only one of them produced something worthy of talk radio, and that was the greatness of Aratus returning the glory with a dominating first-half performance against the lowly Arizona Cardinals.
The greatness of the Raiders.
It was amazing. Kenny Stabler had a couple of touchdown passes. Howie Long was all over the place. The greatness. Marcus Allen ran for 100 yards. It was the Raiders dynasty team. Now, Stump Mitchell did have a good game for the Cardinals. They scored some garbage points and made it a little closer. But the much ballyhooed Arizona rookie Kyler Murray. Don't bury the lead, my man! Kyler Murray, he got another exhibition game start, and it was the Hard Knocks Raiders there. And you talk about hard knocks. Kyler Murray experienced a number of hard knocks. The game was broadcast on that fledgling cable network out of Bristol. And I don't know if you watched any of this stuff, but the TV guys gave Kyler Murray a tongue bath and a bubble bath at the same time. I mean, it was unbelievable. And then the great thing is they give the guy the bubble bath, and he goes out and drowns in the bathtub. It was the kiddie pool is where Kyler is. Murray was overmatched by the Raiders, who I don't think were running anything outrageous. I don't think the Raiders were running their regular season defensive packages and all that. But if you go to the stats, Kyler Murray finished 3 of 8 for 12 yards. He was sacked a couple times. He was running for his life, deer in the headlights. The 2 sacks for minus 10 yards, and one of those in the end zone for a safety. The Cardinals, with Murray taking snaps at center, had 12 yards of offense with Kyler Murray in the first part of that game against the Raiders. So let's discuss now, how bad was Kyler Murray on the Maller scale of garbage for a quarterback? And that's really the Peterman scale.
Garbage.
Because Nathan Peterman is the gold standard for suckage with those 5 interceptions in the first half against the Chargers a year ago. So on the 1 to 10, 10 being Nathan Peterman, I've got Murray, exhibition football, I got him at an 8. I'm going to go 8 for Kyler Murray. I'm not going 10, I'm going 8. We're not at critical mass yet because it's an exhibition game, but it is a preview of coming attractions, shall we say, in the NFL. So I've got the clapper, the food dish, and charisma. All right, those three things, and we will mix them all together. Now, the apologist for Kyler Murray. I've already heard it, because I sent out some, not that I pile on, but I was sending out some comments on social media, enjoying some schadenfreude at the expense of the little guy, the garden gnome. And so I was having some fun, and I was getting some pushback from some people, the psycho fans, the sycophants, rather, who were drinking the Kool-Aid, right? You know, blaming the offensive line. It's the age-old cop-out for poor performance by a quarterback. Always blame the offensive line. It's a knee-jerk reaction. But I would like to set the record straight. All right? These sheep, I actually watched the game. Maybe you didn't, but some real talk for you. Because we don't have the caller anymore, so I can use the term real talk, because he doesn't call a show anymore. Well, he does from Missouri. John from Mizzou is actually real talk. But anyway, so Kyler Murray, he failed at the very basics here. It was amateur hour for the Cardinals quarterback. He had 2 delay of game penalties. How is it even possible for a quarterback to have a delay of game penalty? And he did it twice in one quarter. And so what was Murray doing wrong? If you didn't see this, you can blame the clapper. It's the clap, not the crapper, although his performance was the crapper. The clapper. Kyler Murray apparently had poor rhythmic clapping. He wasn't clapping right. The guy doesn't even know how to clap. Listen. Listen. I know how to clap. Draft me number one. All right? I can be the number one pick in the NFL draft. Where's that Steve Keim? Look. I'm clapping Keim. Draft my ass. I'm a generational clapper. Yeah. All right. Anyway. So Murray was called for two false start penalties because his claps, which signaled the snap for Arizona, were not fluid enough. He was hesitating. He had a hitch in his giddy-up, and essentially Murray was trying to fake the clap to draw the defense offsides. That was supposedly one of the theories that was going around. Whatever the case, it was not kosher. Kyler also overthrew a couple of wide-open receivers at least two times. He threw off his back foot, which generally is looked down upon when you're playing that position, and guilty of just general quarterback negligence. And it's not the offensive line. It's not their fault when you can't even get the playoff because you don't know how to clap. Who doesn't know how to clap? Everyone knows how to clap. It's unbelievable. And as well, the referee shouldn't have called that. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Why don't you miss a spot? Lick over there, okay? I mean, it's ridiculous. They struggled to get the playoff. It's not like, again, the Raiders were not running exotic defensive formations here. Kyler Murray averaged 1.5 yards per throw. Let me repeat that. 1.5 yards per throw for Kyler Murray. Now, part B of this. This is how I expect much of Kyler Murray's rookie season to go. Now, he will have performances occasionally that will be passable. It might even have a good game every once in a while, but I think more times than not, you are going to get this type of performance, something similar to this, from Kyler Murray. It's only week two of the scrimmage season, and we got a long way to go. I don't know that he'll be there the whole time. I believe his body will not handle it. He looks like he should be somewhere off the field protected by bubble wrap or something like that. He's a very delicate player. And they're going to need a rescue helicopter. They already did need a rescue helicopter for Kyler Murray. It's only 2 weeks in. He showed pocket panic. And, you know, his tendency, I always want to run, get rid of the ball as quick as possible, dazed and confused. And there's that fine balance. I'm not saying you shouldn't get rid of the ball quickly, but if you don't know where the ball is going, that becomes, well, it becomes problematic. You know, if Kyler Murray was a food dish, right, you know what he would be? A sloppy Joe. That's what he would be. Or a sloppy Kyler. Yeah, thank you very much. I'll be here all night. Lame jokes next to last hour. You won't be listening then, but try the podcast. It's all on the podcast. So, if you're listening live to the Magic Radio Show, so it's how you would expect Kyler Murray, a pee-wee-size player, to perform, right? To perform against grown-ups. And this is only going to get worse when we get to the regular season. Think of this as a harbinger of things to come for the Cardinals. I will be the voice of doom in the middle of the night under the moon and the stars. I will tell you this is a sign. It's an omen. And you ever remember, maybe you don't remember, the Hindenburg had great expectations and then, oh my God, the mercy. Yeah. It's football Armageddon. And the backup, here's the great thing about this. You know, everyone likes to say sports are meritocracies. I've used that word a lot lately. But meritocracies meaning that if you are you're the top guy, you're going to play. Right? That if you're the most qualified guy, you're going to play. No matter what, doesn't matter your economic background, doesn't matter anything. If you are the better player, you're going to play. Well, Arizona's got a quagmire because Brett Hundley has clearly outplayed Kyler Murray. There's no way that Kyler Murray is not going to play. Kyler Murray can have another game like this, and he's still going to start the regular season. Brett Hundley, in two exhibition games, he has played so far. He has completed 83% of his passes for 10 yards per attempt, has a quarterback rating of 136. He has been solid. Brett Hundley should be the starting quarterback for the Arizona Cardinals. If it was based on performance, it would be Brett Hundley. But Cliff Kingsbury was hired because they anticipated the opportunity to draft Kyler Murray. That was in the back of their head there. And so here you go. You know, you got this situation playing out, and it's a mess. But they're not going to play Hundley. Unless the only way Hundley plays is if Murray gets hurt, which is a possibility. Now, the last word on this. So Kyler Murray had the look on his face. I was looking at a lot of close-ups because they loved him. It was all about Kyler. He looked like he was saying to himself, man, I really would look good in green and gold. I really would look good playing baseball with the Oakland Athletics. Man, would that be fun, right? Those bus rides in the minor leagues, not that bad, right? I can handle the Cal League, driving around the Cal League. That's not that bad. Again, 3 of 8 passing. Now, if you're 3 of 8 as a baseball player, that's a .375 batting average. You're winning a batting title when you hit .375. When you complete 37% of your passes in the NFL, you should be working somewhere else, is what you should be doing. And with Murray, understand, in 2 games, here's some fun fact. You want a fun fact? I'll give you a fun fact. Who doesn't like a fun fact? This is a football fun fact. You can dazzle your friends with this. So Kyler Murray, under center for 2 games, the Cardinals have had 5 drives. They've run 25 offensive plays for 20 yards. 25 offensive plays for 20 total plus yards, 4 punts and a safety. Doesn't that sound like a rock band's name, 4 punts and a safety? Could be like a garbage band or garage band somewhere. 4 punts and a safety. Right? There it is. And Cliff Kingsbury and the Cardinals. Now, one of the things they're saying here is that the air raid offense is going to reinvent the wheel. We're not running our offense during the preseason. It's going to be out there. We're going to debut it in the regular season. All the bells and whistles. All the jewels will be there in the regular season. I've heard this before. You know, essentially, they're writing checks they will not be able to catch. I love the quote from LaMarcus Joyner of the Raiders. You see what LaMarcus Joyner said about the Cardinals' offense. He said it's pretty boy football is what LaMarcus Joyner had to say. Not a fan of the college gimmick offense, which Arizona is going to attempt to run. But they're claiming they're not really running what they want to run. And as long as Kyler Murray can throw those swing, screen, dump-off passes, and that then he'll be somewhat okay. But the problem is those plays are not always available. And when they're not available, oh, man, we got a problem. We have a big old problemo. We do. I mean, and when they're not, I mean, he has the personality, by the way, of a tuna fish sandwich. Do we have that soundbite I sent to you, Coop? I don't know which one of these is that. I sent Coop a soundbite, but it's from the game broadcast. He was interviewed on the sidelines. I don't know if you saw this or not, but there's a clip that is just wonderful. And do we have that? All right, let's go to the audio. Listen to Kyler Murray, and he's asked the most easiest softball question. They are underhanding. It's T-ball. And listen to how Kyler Murray handles the question.
You want to win? Yeah. I know you want the team to win, but what personal goals have you set for yourself this season?
I mean, that's we're going to keep those inside. Just win. I'll give you that. That's what I want to do. Just win.
What a dummy! He's a Dumbo! Kyler Murray! Is there anything in that head of yours? You talk about a lack of charisma. I mean, that was Dan Patrick 2.0. Remember that Dan Patrick interview before? He's on the sideline. The easiest softball question you could possibly ask. And he drops it.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
So there were a bunch of NFL exhibitions. Some of them were just, man, I know it's bad, but I was trying to watch the Eagles and Jacksonville. Woo-wee! El Stinkaroo, cover your nose. It was horrific. I only watched some of the first half, but it was brutal. And the Eagles had another quarterback injured in that game, so they'll be signing someone. If you know how to throw the football, you might want to send your resume in, your LinkedIn page, over to the Eagles. They might be giving you a call there. And the Jacksonville team, they played all their backups, and you know you're not very good when you're the backup on Jacksonville. You know that things are not going very well for you. So I watched a little bit of that game, the Raiders and the Cardinals. We talked a lot about that last hour. Some of the Bengals and the Redskins. I was flipping around. Did not watch it. I don't think I watched any of the Packers and the Ravens. But anyway, this is a full-service radio show. All right, we are here to help the masses. That's why we are here. It's actually here because I need money. But one of our senior P1s, if you heard a previous edition of the show, Jim in Providence, he made a request. He gun to your head. He wanted to have us give him a Super Bowl pick other than the Rams. Now, Jim, a loyal P1. I've met Jim. He's a friend. We've had a drink together there at the pub in Boston. And so he's a good guy. And he bet on the Patriots to win the AFC. He wants another team. Right? He says that he will put a C note, which is not $1,000, it's $100, of his money on whichever team I come up with. So now I was going to throw a team out right away. And I said, no, I want to think about this. Because, you know, when there's money involved, I feel guilt. Even though it's not my money, I feel like it's my money. And I don't want to see anybody losing money. But at the same time, he's guaranteed to lose one way or another because he's already got the Patriots. So he's betting two teams. Last I checked, two teams can't, like, they don't slice the Lombardi Trophy with an axe down the middle. You only have one team that gets the Lombardi Trophy. So I spent some time in the cave, and I was doing some research in the Maller Mansion, and I was doing some crunching of the numbers and whatnot. So the question is, which NFC team am I going to pick? Which NFC team gives you the most bang for your buck on the futures market? If you are looking to bet a little, well, 100's not a little, it's a decent amount of money, $100, C-note, which team do you go with? That's right, the Minnesota Vikings, baby. I'm going with the Vikings. All right, now let me make my elevator pitch. Before you say, boy, this guy's a dum-dum, let me make my elevator pitch. I'm going to tell you why the Vikings are the team, other than the Rams and the NFC. Okay, I'll walk you through this. We've got bread and butter, elimination, and the kaleidoscope. And we will combine all of these things together. But, Jim, that's the team, the Vikings. The Vikings have all of the ingredients you're looking for the team. They're flying under the radar. That's a value play with the Vikings. Now, I realize Minnesota underachieved last season, but that actually works out to your benefit. Okay, that works out to your benefit. You like a team that is coming back, trying to rebound from a boozed-up, messed-up season. Which, you know, not everyone's kissing their ass. No one's even talking about the Minnesota Vikings nationally. They're off the grid. They came apart at the seams. Kirk Cousins got that luxurious $84 million guaranteed contract, and he immediately proceeded to put snot rockets all over the field there for the Vikings. He underachieved. I'm not saying he didn't. He was Charlie Checkdown in the Twin Cities. He was oblivious at times. The offensive line wasn't good, and he made them look even worse. But that was last year. We're looking ahead, right? I expect him to rebound, to boomerang back. And Cousins, simply, he doesn't have to be the greatest quarterback in the NFL. He has to be a fringe top 10 quarterback, which was what he was with the Washington Redskins. Not going to be a top 5 quarterback, but he can be around, you know, 10, 12, 13 in the NFL in that area. That's where Cousins can be. He put up some empty numbers last year. The numbers were inflated. But you look around the Vikings offense, and they have weaponized that offense. They still have Adam Thielen's a wonderful receiver. Stephon Diggs, solid. Kyle Rudolph in the past, although he's recently not been as amazing as he was at one point, but above average, a tight end. Dalvin Cook, not exactly chopped liver, in the backfield. And you toss in a remade offensive line. We'll see if these new faces in new places blocking give you a better performance. But my main reason for optimism and why I'm telling my friend Jim in Providence to put that C note down on the Vikings is the bread and butter of Minnesota. That's defense. Last season, they regressed and they were ninth in points allowed. And that was a bad year for the Vikings. Ninth in points allowed. And in 2017, when they had that ridiculous play, you know, and they ended up getting smashed in the NFC Championship game against Philadelphia, but against the Saints, that particular year, they had the number 2 scoring defense in the entire NFL. Number 2. All right. And I expect a defense similar to that this year. Anthony Barr, the headliner, but there's several other big-time guys on the defensive side for the Vikings. That's a ball-hawking defense. They're not going to be the purple people eaters, but they can be a hybrid version of that. And so if you're starting with a top 5 defense,
That's a good spot to be. I believe the Vikings have a top five defense. So starting there, you just got to tweak some things and tinker with some things in offense. Now, secondly, the reason I reached the conclusion on the Vikings is based on what I like to call, it's a very scientific thing, process of elimination. All right? Process of elimination. Now, maybe it's overanalyzing, but I assumed that my guy Jim did not want an AFC team because he already picked the Patriots. So I immediately discounted every team in the American Football Conference. I said, that's it. I'm done. I shaved off all of those teams. And then I started looking for chinks in the armor for some of the other teams in the NFC. And it's not hard to find the shortcomings. One thing I'm good at, I can find weaknesses. Sometimes when they're not even there, I can find weaknesses in teams. I didn't take the Saints for two reasons. There's no value in it. And Drew Brees is as old as dirt. And he didn't play very well at the end of last season, and I expect him to play well early in the year, but is he going to fade again? I mean, Drew Brees got a free pass because of what happened in the NFC Championship game, but he was outplayed after the first quarter by Jared Goff. No one talks about that, but from the second quarter to the end of the game in overtime, Goff was better. He was just better than Drew Brees in that game. I also eliminated the Bears. Overhyped, don't trust Mitch Trubisky. They're going to play a tougher schedule this year. They'll come back down. I discounted the Cowboys. Zeke Elliott's enjoying himself in Cabo. Dak Prescott's dink and dunk Dak. I don't trust the Cowboys. I don't think they're at that level. And look at Seattle. Shout out JJ and Renton there. I look at the Seahawks defense. I think they're good. But overall, they don't have enough, and you're not going to get in as the division winner. The Rams will win that division, so the Seahawks are playing for a wild card, which you don't particularly love in that spot. Don't believe in the Green Bay Packers. The Eagles have loads of talent, but they do not have a contingency plan when Carson Wentz inevitably has his injury, which you know is guaranteed. You know, it's like they have Christmas every year and Thanksgiving and Halloween, and then they also have the injury for Carson Wentz. That's what happens. And they have no backup plan. They have no, hey, here's what we're going to do situation. Now, the final point on this. So the other reason to like the Vikings is Mike Zimmer. Now, Mike Zimmer is really coaching for his job. He's entering his sixth season already in Minnesota. How fast the time flies. And you know, the Vikings, the way they collapsed last year, the trap door opened up, it was embarrassing. And so that makes this 2019 season a make-or-break situation for Zimmer. If they suck, if the Vikings underachieve, he's done. He's out. They're going to fire his ass. They're going to bring somebody else in to try to salvage the last year of Kirk Cousins because he signed a three-year guaranteed situation. So they got to bring somebody else in at that particular point. And if that implosion happens, then Zimmer's going to get the guillotine. That's how that's going to go. And based on his track record, this is another reason to be optimistic about the Vikings this year. Zimmer's, he's been there 5 years so far, five seasons, and his teams have been like a kaleidoscope. Right? They have been like a kaleidoscope. What I mean by that is that it's a volatile stock, up and down. Vikings went from 7 wins the first year to 11 wins. They went down to 8. Then they won 13 games the following year. And then last year, they won 8 again. They were 8-7-1. So I expect a minimum of 11 wins from the Vikings this year. 11 wins doesn't guarantee home field advantage or anything like that. But 11 wins gets you in the playoffs. And that's the pick. That's my pitch. I'm taking the Vikings sleeper pick for my guy Jim in Providence. There you go. Put your money down. Put your money down. That's a value play. I should charge for this. Do not charge for it at all. Just download the podcast, all right? I was reading a story about Zimmer, though. I got a kick out of that. Something about Zimmer I get a kick out of. Like he's just like old school guy and all that. He owns like 150 acres of land or something like that. Maybe more than that in Kentucky. And he's a hunter. You know, he's an outdoorsman. He's got his own ranch. Mike Zimmer has his own ranch in Kentucky.
Who?
Though he's the Vikings head coach. He's the head coach of the Vikings. And they did a feature story. I was reading it on the interweb. And he goes to these retreats on his ranch because if you own 150 or 160 acres in Kentucky, you'd go there too. And he goes there like on the bye week. And he said he takes his iPad into
the hunting area there where they're sitting there waiting. You have to be very quiet. I'm not a hunter, but I have friends that have done that. You have to sit there. If you're a hunter, you know what I'm talking about. You have to be very quiet, right? He's waiting for deer to run by. But while he's doing that, he's able to watch the game tape, he claims, while he's looking for deer to shoot. So that's what he says. Yeah. Must have good Wi-Fi out there on the ranch, man. I mean, that's 150 acres. That's a lot of land for that Wi-Fi to cover. He must have one of those special hookups or something like that.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific.
It is time now for Here We Go. Hit the strike up the Ben.
That's it's right. Maller.
How about that?
To the third degree. This is when Big Ben gets grilled.
It is the last third degree of the week. Here he is, the Koopaloo. Turn the mic on.
Headphones got stuck.
Okay.
On Wednesday, Kristaps Porzingis posted a picture of himself working out, and Ben, compared to what he looked like when he last played, he looked jacked. Now, do you think this added bulk will help his game on the court?
All right, so a couple of things. I've seen the photos of Kristaps Porzingis. The weight gain, I do not believe. I have an alternative theory. I don't believe this is about the NBA. I think this is about not getting smashed again at a Latvian club. I think that's what he's doing. He's like, I am such a weakling. I got my ass handed to me by a bunch of thugs, Russian thugs, at a Latvian bar on a street fight, and the unicorn doesn't want to be a lightweight anymore. He does kind of look like Drago from the Rocky movies, doesn't he? And it did to me. Anyway, the second
racist.
I don't think that's racist. Being yoked. I'm using the word yoked. You're saying jacked. I'm using yoked. Yeah. It is a double-edged sword in basketball. Right? The bulk will help you, the physical nature of the NBA. But the problem Porzingis has, too much weight. You know, he's got a bum knee. He's had some issues there with his legs. And the Mavericks need Porzingis, obviously, to be healthy and be a dominant player. They're expecting him to blossom into an all-star with Dallas, and when he's played, he's been really good, but the health thing's been the problem. All right, next!
Now, Boomer Esiason was interviewed earlier this week, and he said that he believes Odell Beckham Jr. either faked or embellished his quad injury at the end of last season and just quit on the Giants. Ben, you think there's any truth to that?
Well, we have no way of knowing. I mean, that's obvious, but I say, number one, stranger things have happened. I mean, we have seen plenty of athletes exaggerate and embellish injuries over the years. Most of these things happen, like, on the field, like with soccer players taking a dive or NBA players flopping or Paul Pierce pooping his pants and needing a wheelchair for the Celtics in the playoffs. But number two, the thing about Boomer Esiason, like Boomer does a radio show in New York, and he's one of these guys, I think he's got some kind of vendetta against Odell Beckham. I don't know what's going on between those two, but a little spicy commentary from Boomer about Odell, and it's a great shot. To accuse someone of checking out is a tremendous shot at their character. It is. And is it damage control, though? And Beckham was so beloved. I'm not saying Boomer is lying. Did he get that from somebody with the Giants who's trying to get that story out there because Beckham was given away for a song? They didn't get fair value in return for Odell Beckham from the Browns. Next!
Now, apparently Patrick Mahomes' likeness is going to be portrayed on the hood of Gary Galding's number 8 Chevy car for this Friday's NASCAR Infinity Series.
That's right.
Ben, would you start watching NASCAR if your face was on one of the hoods?
Oh, let me tell you something. I'd go to every NASCAR race, Koopaloo, if my picture was on a hood there. I would become an honorary redneck, all right? I would embrace the right-hand turn around the NASCAR track. I would love it. Absolutely, right? And that's pretty cool, because usually NASCAR, you don't know this, Coop, but early on, I actually had to go to NASCAR events. I worked at FoxSports.com for a little bit. I had a rumor page that I put together, BenMaller.com, went to FoxSports.com. So, I actually had a good time when I was at they're cool, fun people at NASCAR events. It was pretty cool back in the day. The problem NASCAR is they tried to go mainstream. They didn't stick loyal to their southern roots, and people in the south started getting upset. People in the north didn't really like it that much, and they didn't stick with it, and it became a problem. And we used to have Darrell Waltrip back when he was doing the races on Fox. Boogity, who? Boogity, 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 boogity. Let's go racing, boys. That guy, Darrell Waltrip, loved him. And he would come on. But, yeah, absolutely. All right, how'd we do, Coop?
Ben, you failed this edition. NASCAR sucks.
Really? Come on, Coop.
You get nothing.
It's been a long time since I had failed
Good
you.
Good day, sir.
I have a quota.
What's your quota?
At least once a week.
Once a week? I was perfect, though. I nailed it.
Oh, no. You suck again.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live. Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Lame week.
Lame week who? It's Big Ben's Lame Joke of the Week.
And it is time now for Big Ben's Lame Jokes of the Week, brought to you by Discover Card. We treat you like you'd treat you. These are actual jokes sent in by actual listeners from all over North America. Joke writers. Some of these people should be writing jokes for television, like big TV shows and all that. They're pretty funny. All right, so I'll read the joke, bounce it off Eddie. He'll bounce it back to me. I'll give you the punchline. You'll laugh your ass off. Roberto will play this, that, or the other thing. And Coop's got offensive jokes. Roberto, if you got any jokes, you can throw them in as well. And here we go. Why did Bartolo Colon go to Kentucky Fried Chicken and buy 12 pieces of chicken?
I don't know why, Ben.
It was on his bucket list.
So.
Frederick, who sent that one in. Why don't ghosts like rain, Eddie?
Well, that's a good question. I don't know why. Don't they like rain?
It dampens their spirits. You're upset there. Now, this one's from Podcast Aaron in Lancaster. Did you know that Dodger utility man Christopher Negron has a twin brother?
No, I did not know that.
Yeah. Yeah, they say all those Negron brothers look the same. Yeah. It's Podcast Aaron. This one came from Cowboy John Brad. Who is Bill Clinton's ex-girlfriend Monica Lewinsky's favorite singer? I don't think they were girlfriend and boyfriend, Cowboy. I think they had a fling.
I still don't know who her favorite singer is.
BJ Thomas, according to Cowboy John Brad. That's his answer there. What does Doc Mike hear his dates yell when they're in another room?
I don't know. What do they yell?
I've fallen and I can't get up.
They usually say something in Spanish, bro.
Yeah, yeah, in Ecuador.
Racist.
How do you get Donald Trump to change a light bulb?
I don't know. How do you get him to do that?
You tell him it was put there by Obama, and he will change that thing right away. That's from Eek in Roseville, Minnesota. Do you see, Eddie, we're getting Greenland. Do you see that? We're getting Greenland.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, I saw
yeah,
that.
Trump's idea now is to have U.S. territory in Greenland, which is... I have wondered, like, why didn't they just make Guam and Puerto Rico states? But that's not probably for us to talk about on the air. Anyway, what is the difference between James Harden and Fox Sports Radio's boss, Scott Shapiro?
Oh, I have no idea.
Harden doesn't get called for traveling, but Shapiro gets traveling calls from Eddie all the time. It's George in Rochester. Thank you, George. Hey, you're a traveling man, Eddie. You're enjoying the world.
Yeah.
You're going out and seeing the world.
Once a year.
More than me. Did you know that Angry Bill was once a booty model?
I certainly did not know that.
Unfortunately for him, it was when he was in prison. That was the problem there. That's Gary in Youngstown sent that one in. Why did Angry...
Take that in your pooper and pop it.
Calm down, Angry Bill. Why did Angry Bill visit the pet hospital?
I don't know.
He wanted to witness the birth of his next girlfriend. That was from Rick who sent that one. That's not... Come on,
really
Rick.
Disturbing.
How dare you? Coop, you got anything over there, Coopaloop?
Yeah...
You sound very excited.
Is it too soon or what? What's going on here?
You know where Jeffrey Epstein's dates went after the Walk of Shame?
Yeah, no, I don't know.
Back to seventh grade gym class.
Oh.
Wow.
It's from Gary in Youngstown.
I got some Epstein jokes. What time did Jeffrey Epstein die?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. The prison guard burned his suicide watch. It's a curse from Earth. Kurt from Earth sent that one in. Anything else over there, Coop? You got anything else?
I'll keep looking.
All right. Did you hear Jeffrey Epstein had visitors the night before he died?
No, I did not hear that.
Yeah, they just hung out for a while. That was it. Bill from Iowa. Well, he's a pedophile. We can goof on him, right? You know, you're supposed to wait.
I would say so, yes.
Supposed to wait on the dead guys, but
not him.
I think we're okay with him. I think we're in the safe territory on that.
Hey, Ben.
Yes, Coop.
How do you get your phone confiscated in Hong Kong?
Oh boy.
Let freedom ring.
Wow.
That's from Kurt.
Why does a chicken coop have two doors?
I don't know. Why does a chicken coop have two doors?
Because if it had four doors, it would be a sedan. And that would be, that's a David in Pennsylvania sent that one. And it's Big Ben's Lame Jokes of the Week. How did Coop know, or when did Coop first know he was a pothead?
I have no idea.
When he studied 5 days for his urine test, he knew right then. That was from Just Josh.
I hate that term, by the way.
Pothead?
Pothead.
What do you like? What's the term you like? Marijuana connoisseur?
I mean, yeah, if you want to get technical, but no, yeah. I like stoner better than stoner. Pothead even. I mean, I don't know.
Okay. I'm so wasted.
Now, do you ever use the term Mary Jane? That's an outdated term, right?
You're not really.
Yeah, I got you. All right. Mike Tyson revealed that he spends $40,000 on weed each month, Eddie.
Yeah, I heard about that.
In a related note, Koopa Loop is in talks with Tyson about being adopted, so he's... so Hillbilly Mike sent that one in. What's the difference between A-Rod and Weed Man?
Oh, my.
This is from a Gagon account.
I don't know.
Both lost over $500,000, but A-Rod still had money and a job. That's it's mean and, yeah.
I saw that he still has you listed on his Twitter bio.
Oh, does he?
Yeah.
Oh, boy. I haven't heard from him in a while. What is the only thing with more damage than Antonio Brown's feet?
Oh, I don't know.
His brain.
Yeah.
All right. It's Big Ben's Lame.
Jerk yourself away.
Big Ben's Lame Jokes of the Week. These are actual jokes sent in by actual listeners. Let's see here. Before we do that, we'll skip over that one. There are wildfires all over the state of California right now.
There are?
Yeah, they're a result of Roberto continually blowing the collars up. It's from the Gagon account. Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Roberto.
Roberto who?
Roberto, knock it off already. Kurt from Earth, man. Good week by Kurt from Earth there. Let's see here. I don't know if I want to read that one on the... All right. What first aid should be rendered if the Dodgers choke again in the postseason?
Oh, I don't know.
Rapidly apply the Guggenheimlich maneuver. See, that's... For those who don't know, the Dodgers are owned by the Guggenheim yeah. Investment Group. They own the Dodgers. All right. Speak Ben's Lame Jokes of the Week. Did you hear that Kyler Murray gets mad easily?
No, I did not.
Yeah, he's got a short temper. So Just Josh sent that one in. Weed Man now lives under a $4 million roof. Amazing, right?
That is amazing.
Bridges are really expensive these
no,
days.
That's true.
They are. Yes, that's Eek in Roseville, Minnesota. It's Big Ben's Lame Jokes. Are we anything else, Coop? Anything at all? You got anything?
Nope.
Okay. Kyler Murray is so short.
How short is he?
He smoked weed with Mike Tyson and remained low. So Kurt from Earth again here. Why does Kyler Murray laugh when he plays soccer?
I don't know. Why does he laugh when he plays soccer?
Well, the grass tickles the soccer ball. The balls. Yeah. No. Just Josh.
I love our balls.
Kill the punchline. What do the Vikings and an Alabama wedding have in common?
Vikings and an Alabama wedding. What could they possibly have in common?
They both love Cousins. That's Bill. Oh, come on, man. Bill from Iowa. I apologize to our listeners in Alabama. All right, I got the closer. No, I don't, exactly. You're not. I do not apologize at all. All right, here's the final one. Are you ready? The closer. This one sent in by Mike in Ohio. So thank you, Mike, for sending this in. I don't think we've used one of your jokes as a closer before. You haven't sent very many in. All right, here it is. Antonio Brown is being sued by a personal chef for $40,000.
We talked about that yesterday, yeah.
It turns out that Brown was unable to foot the bill.
Ah.
There it is! Good night, everybody! Big Ben's Lame Jokes of the Week! Thank you all. You guys have been great. I put a little promo in the podcast, get more jokes in. We got a couple podcast guys adding to the joke writing staff here. And so thank you very much. It's fun. And as long as our bosses are sleeping, we'll continue this as long as we can do here. And I think you'll hear all of this on the podcast. Although if anything's dicey, it might get taken out of it. I have no idea.
I think we're good, right?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, the Epstein thing's fine. Yeah. We're good with that. I think we didn't do any danger zone.
Got a murder. Got to go.
Where do I have to go? I don't have to go anywhere.